From a warm spot in the cockles of my heart, in the darkest recesses of my mind, it's Jockulation with your host, LB Faust. Jockulation is an interactive social broadcast hosted by the cultural attaché to the SARS and ringmaster of the shit show himself, LB Faust. It features original satire, comedy, punk rock, and humorous bits every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Jockulation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. Due to copyright restrictions, all segments which feature music from other artists and performers have been removed from this recording. On with the show.
Not at all. Hey, kids, it's Friday night. LB Faust, your host, cultural attaché to the stars, all that shit. You're listening to Jockulation. It's a, you know, what's kind of interesting here is I have always been a proponent, like, you know, I always gave crimp shit about drinking bourbon because, you know, I called it Walmart sex. It had that redneck appeal to it. You know what I'm sitting there saying, kids? But what's interesting is, like, over the holiday season, one of the gifts that LP got was the gift of Flavier, which is effectively a tasting thing, if you will. You can taste whatever spirit you want. So in this particular level that I was given, every quarter I get a tasting of whatever kind of liquor I want and a full bottle because they understand that sometimes life demands a little more than just a swill inside of a glass, right? So as I'm looking through this stuff, I'm kind of like, I've heard a lot about whiskey and, in fact, you know, bourbons and such. And what kind of got me was the documentary Neat. If you've not seen it, you should go check out Neat. Very awesome documentary all about bourbon and the making of it. And it's incredibly cool, especially how it ends. But that being said, so I wound up getting this tasting pack of bourbons, right? And, you know, I went ahead and got some Irish whiskey, of course, because, you know, it's Irish cultural appropriation. Irish heritage cultural appropriation coming up soon. This March 17th, you know it all, kids, so just mark it down on your calendar, Irish Cultural Appropriation Day. So, at any rate, I started tasting these whiskeys, and I'm like, what are these bourbons? And I'm like, holy shit, these are actually pretty good. So, I've graduated, and I've gone ahead and decided to start drinking some bourbons. So, tonight's show will be brought to you by this really killer bourbon called Widow Jane. And if you've not had it, listen, go out there, get a life, actually spend a little money, put something into your whiskey. It'll give you a little back. Remember, kids, Widow Jane, very important. But you know something? We got important shit coming up that we got to take care of. You know what that important shit is? It's the Super Bowl, right? Now, listen. We got the Super Bowl. I know most people out there that are from other countries are kind of like, dude, what the fuck is up with the Super Bowl shit, LP? We don't do that stuff. We go ahead and play soccer. I know you do, but you do that like once every 4 years in a stadium in a World Cup or some shit like that. There's ultra violence, great games, lots of cheerleading. It's everything American. So if you recall, during the Super Bowl buildup last year, LP brought you the tips for a safer COVID Super Bowl orgy, courtesy of the British Columbia Center for Disease Control and their safer sex guidelines for endorsing glory holes to help prevent the spread of COVID. So if you recall, we went ahead and we're talking about the need to drill holes in your wall, make sure that your COVID, like, you know, your Super Bowl orgies are more COVID safe. Well, this year, kids, we've got to go ahead and make sure that we're keeping up to date with all the important things and making sure that your Super Bowl celebration can truly be an incredible celebration, the kinds of like which, you know, a nearly dead Ric Flair might actually enjoy. So, what do we have this time? Well, apparently, kids, there's a brand new contest out there, a very important contest, and what it is it's the Super Bowl contest, which is offering cash prizes for you to go ahead and take your largest shit you possibly can afterwards and post it up on that Twitter thread. Because nothing says champagne of victory quite, actually, nothing says Super Bowl quite like, hey, take a look at what I just ate and drop a deuce in the bowl. That's right, kids. On Wednesday, Tushy, a bidet company, tweeted that its Super Bowl contest will award $10,000 to the best post-Super Bowl poop sent on what it's dubbing Super Bowl Monday. Yes, kids. And of course, at least one person went ahead and actually saw the possibilities beyond the prize money. And, you know, Adrian Garrow tweets, I hope this ends with the winning submission being minted as an NFT. And I'm just kind of sitting there saying, you know, Just think about it. You're actually quite literally getting rewarded for shitposting. I mean, does anything really go ahead and top that particular thing?
How about no?
Absolutely not. And of course, we got to put the snip up there of our favorite little, whoops, wrong button there, LP. We've got to put the snip up there for that Twitter, what are we doing tonight, LP? I don't know. Whoops, that was the bad one. Eventually, we'll get everything, see what happens, take a day off, and all of a sudden, everything just sort of, like, falls apart. Right, kids? All right. So, yeah, quite literally, you get rewarded for shitposting. And, of course, nothing says champagne victory quite like immortalizing your post-game sausage and sauerkraut-inspired victory squat with an NFT in your Twitter feed. I mean, to me, that says absolute victory. Absolute win, you know what I'm saying? I mean, this way, every year when your Twitter feed prompts you with all those Super Bowl memories, you can just relive how that bad choice of mixing chili con queso with, like, sauerkraut sausage and a crudité went ahead and transformed that Super Bowl Eve into something absolutely magical. You know what I'm saying, kids? Just wave a magic wand over it. And, I mean, when you think about it, right, every championship team and every MVP pregame or every MVP has a pregame prep, which is, like, the keys to their victory. And I guess, for me, I'm curious, right? What is the pregame prep for a championship award-winning turd? I guess it's what? Cruciferous veggies or, I don't know, maybe corn for, like, texture and possibly some color? And, I mean, perhaps cheese is like the quarterback sneak of the championship turd game, right? I mean, if you're interested in this, kids, the Twitter handle for this particular competition, remember, you have to have your entries in. By late Sunday evening, it's at Hello Tushy. You got that, kids? At Hello Tushy. So,
can I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
Be sure to eat that stuff that'll just bring it all out of you, clean you out so that you too can have a chance at winning $10,000 for shitposting. Hey, kids, what can I say? I'm thinking about you. But, you know, people are taking things a little bit too far now. You know, we went ahead and sat there and talked about this tremendous campaign that's up over there. But, you know, in some cases, what happens is excess has become more the norm. I mean, people are getting all crazy about NFTs. People are getting crazy about all kinds of stuff. And in fact, I mean, what says, wow, what is going on with LP's tech this morning or evening or whenever it is? At any rate, what says, like, truly messed up and true excess, quite like when you go ahead and take a Bitcoin wallet and, I don't know, genetically engineer a mouse to become your living Bitcoin wallet.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, so BitMouse DAO launched on January 25th. It has exactly two investors, almost no money, and no Discord, right? Now, the scheme, according to the DAO's pitch, is to experiment with genetic technology to put Bitcoin inside of a mouse.
I mean, what the fuck?
Let's say that again. To put Bitcoin inside of a mouse. Well, you might ask yourself, how is that possible, LP? Well, let's read on. Scientists have already developed methods of encoding information into strands of DNA. So in theory, it's not a complete non-starter. BitMouse DAO plans to use a cold wallet to generate a private key offline. Purchased Bitcoins will then be pumped into this wallet. Then, BitMouse DAO will edit the mouse's genetic code to carry the private key that controls the Bitcoins. The plan is to work with a company to translate the key into a corresponding ATGC sequence of DNA to encode it into the mouse during fertilization.
I mean, what the fuck?
And of course, if that doesn't work, they have a fallback plan, right? BitMouse will just engineer a, quote, harmless virus carrying the key and inject it into the mouse.
I mean, what the fuck?
A harmless virus, I might add. And once the mouse has the private key encoded into its DNA via genetic engineering, the BitMouse DAO envisions that its children will, too. Ideally, the offspring of the BitMouse will also carry the private key and would make specimens of them to sell at auction after they die of natural causes, of course. And at this point, a single Bitcoin would be split into multiple specimens, but as soon as somebody breaks the specimen to extract the genetic information and thus remove the BitMouse, the other specimens would lose their value. So, kids, it sounds wonderful, doesn't it? I mean, harmless virus, you say? Isn't this how we got, like, the fucking COVID pandemic? I mean, I suppose, like, the upside is we could all be infected with a Bitcoin cold storage wallet that the Fed could drain at any moment. You know what I'm saying, kids? I mean,
what the fuck?
Sounds perfectly okay to me, right? Pooping ladies. Oh, Jesus Christ. That is not something I needed to see, Ron. Give me some bleach for my eyes. I mean, you got to love the marketing on this thing, right? It's great, however, like super spy franchise like Jason Bourne and every great zombie apocalypse franchise like The Walking Dead. It feels like it kind of started this way. You know what I'm saying, kids? But then again, I mean, hey. I mean, talk about extremes, crazy stuff. They're talking about, you know, rate hikes over at the Fed emergency rate hikes and all that stuff because inflation is so out of control, and it seems like everybody's angry all at the same time, too. So you probably want to go to your, like, local place, sit down at your watering hole, go ahead and mind your own business, and you never know when a fucking fight might erupt, kind of like over at the Golden Corral over here, over, like, you know, some steak and stuff.
Fuck?
So, like, a massive fight involving customers at the Golden Corral restaurant in Pennsylvania saw chairs and tables being thrown across the dining room, and it's been claimed that the fight started over the buffet running out of steak. Dude.
How dare you?
Dude, you're a fucking all-you-can-eat place. How could you run out of steak?
How dare you?
But then again, you know, it is what it is. Now, authorities have said they believe that 40 people were involved thereabouts. There were two parties waiting in line for steak. Somebody had cut in front and then started being picky and finicky about the steaks and taking too long. Then somebody else spoke up and said something, and I guess said something that the other party didn't like. And then it, like, turned into an all-out brawl. Chairs, tables, ladders. Where the fuck is Jeff Hardy in, like, the WWE when you need them? I'm just kind of, like, wondering, right? You could have a steak, tables, ladders, and chairs match right there in the fucking Golden Corral over the Hibachi Grill, right? Right next to that sort of, like, I don't know, quasi-salmonella-infected, like, side item over there. Perhaps, like, I don't know, the mac and cheese that's been sitting there since, like, 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever, just letting the salmonella go ahead and grow over it. It would be just an absolute family fantastic feast. Great love and great enjoyment for everybody. Then, of course, you got the sideshow there where somebody brings the foreign object over into the buffet line and just smacks the shit out of grandma because how dare you sit there and freaking take all the steak.
How dare you?
That's right, you greedy, greedy person. And, of course, pent-up anger all over this place, right? I mean, everybody's got something to worry about. In fact, Ginger's out there, you might have to worry because according to the Equalities and Human Rights over in the UK, it appears that gingers need protection from gingerism and prejudice.
How dare you?
That's right. All you redheads out there, you got some gingerism issues, and you know something, the hatred is just coming down. And apparently what winds up happening is this human rights office over here is now a charity. And apparently the charity also said it was a particularly large problem in Britain, which makes me sit there and ask the question, huh? I mean, it's like every third person is a ginger over in Britain, I would imagine, because Ireland and Scotland aren't too far away. And it's like everybody's kid, you know, second kid over there is a ginger. So I'm struggling to understand how this is a problem. So according to the charity, bullying red-haired people is one of the last socially accepted forms of prejudice against people for a trait which they were born with. Listen. I don't necessarily see a bunch of PSAs going towards gingerism prevention. I don't necessarily go ahead and see, like, a million-person march in, like, Washington, D.C., or even number 10 Downing over gingerism, right? I don't see ginger brothers and sisters, you know, in arms, sitting there talking about equality, you know, equal pay, equal access, none of that stuff. So, dude.
I mean, what the fuck?
I'm at a loss. I don't see it. But you know what? Maybe it's just my tin ear. Maybe it's just my tin ear. Because I'll tell you what, apparently it doesn't stop there. I mean, we all know who Farrah Abrams is, right? The porn star that used to be on Teen Mom. Well, apparently she's running into all kinds of systematic problems as well. She's apparently now suffering from educational abuse. And you're asking
What the fuck?
Dude, what's educational abuse? Well, apparently, the reality star, please note that TMZ does not refer to her as a porn star. The reality star, because I guess that would be all kinds of offensive and, you know, truthful.
How dare you?
Sort of shaming, I guess. But the porn star is claiming that the Ivy League school is, quote, a joke and a scam, alleging that she became the victim of educational abuse after being kicked out of a Zoom class and bullied by a professor altogether.
How dare you?
According to Farrah Abram, I'll be taking legal action against Harvard. I properly gave them time. I sadly had to write a review on Niche, Yelp, and Google Maps because no one was getting back to me. Basically, an elder teacher in a position of power with a male dean blocked me out of a class and also said lies about my work. I was the most person of color in the class. Everyone else was super white.
How dare you?
Okay, listen. If I go to a school, right, I mean, and I'm not having a good time in that class, I don't fucking write a review on Yelp, like, right next to the Golden Corral over here that I just survived, like, a mob ambush in because they ran out of steak, right? Can I ask a question? Because maybe I'm just a fossil and I don't know anything. Who in the fuck writes a review on Yelp about, like, I don't know, a school or a professor? I mean, maybe if you're over in, like, the Culinary Academy or something like that, you can talk about how this dude can't poach eggs to save his life. And it would be relevant because, like, everybody leaves reviews for everything over there. My barber sucks, right? Dude, who in the fuck goes ahead and says, hey, you know what? Harvard's a terrible school on Yelp because they went ahead and did, like, educational abuse against me, and I was, like, the most colorful person in class while everyone else was super white. I mean, dude.
How dare you?
I mean, is it me? Do I have a tin ear? Or does it seem like this is just, there's so much hatred and so much, I mean, it's just absolutely over the top. And I mean, when you look at it on the surface, this is kind of funny, but then you have to go kind of a little bit deeper, right? You have to, can I sue ginger haters? This is the real question. You know something, Krim? Come on over to America. You can sue anybody that you want. Don't worry about it. We live in a world of litigious lawsuits and all kinds of stuff over here. Because, dude, America, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, man. And, of course, you know, you sit there and talk about can you sue ginger haters. I got one even better for you. You know who's my personal hero right now? The man who's sitting here and actually fighting off just this terrible, terrible kind of stuff. All this hatred, all this unctuousness, all these terrible things, these stereotypes. It's Peter Dinklage. You want to know why? Because he's my hero because he calls out Disney's Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs remake. And he's quoted as saying, what the fuck are you doing?
How dare you?
That's right, kids. The actor who currently stars in Joe Wright's musical Serrano is best known for his role in Game of Thrones. And he was on Mark Maron's What the Fuck podcast, where he unloaded on the upcoming live-action remake, calling it fucking backwards. Literally, no offense to anyone. But I was a little taken aback when they were very proud to cast a Latina actress as Snow White. You're still telling the story of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Take a step back and look at what you're doing here. It makes no sense to me. Hold on a moment.
How dare you?
You're progressive in the way and you're making all that fucking backwards story about seven dwarfs living in a cave together? What the fuck are you doing, man? Have I done nothing to advance the cause from my soapbox? I guess I'm not loud enough. I think also, if you tell the story of Snow White with the most fucked up progressive spin on it, let's do it. All in. But I just don't know.
How dare you?
Dude, think about that. Let's be inclusive. Let's go ahead and actually make sure that we're going and representing everybody. Let's not be stereotypes. Let's go ahead and get a Latina to play Snow White. But you know what? All those little wee people over there on the fucking doors. Let them go ahead and continue to live in that stereotype because otherwise we can't make money. You know what I'm saying? All right, kids. How many people are actually going to go ahead and watch this movie? ALP, are you going to go ahead and watch this fucking movie?
How about new?
I don't know. I might have to write a review on Yelp on it, you know, and I might have to go ahead and point out how offended I am and that I'm the whitest person in the room. Maybe something like that. That's quite possible. You know what I'm saying? But the problem is, you see, we need a spokesperson for everyone. All of this hatred, all of this unctuousness, all of this outrage, right?
How dare you?
That's right. All that stuff. I think the key to solving this is that we need somebody who can go ahead and be like the spokesperson for inclusion and like build a bridge across the divide. We need somebody who's very active in government, somebody who can take care of Uncle Bonehead. We need somebody who can actually go ahead and speak that language. Go ahead and grab and rattle and grab the attention of all of the people inside there. Somebody that'll actually be able to move the masses, if you will. You know who we need? We need a person kind of like Biden's new Department of Energy hire. That's right, kids. We need to go ahead and get Sam Brynan or Brinton. And you're probably asking yourself who he is. He was recently hired by the Department of Energy as the Spent Fuel and Waste Disposition Deputy. Now, Sam has a dual master's degree from MIT in engineering systems and nuclear science and engineering. But if you don't recognize his name, perhaps you know them by their drag queen alter ego name, Sister Radioactive. What? That's right, kids. Sister Radioactive. A Metro Weekly article contains some illuminating details about this Brinton, about Brinton's lifestyle as a handler in the pup community.
I mean, what the fuck?
And if you're wondering what it is, kids, puppy play is part of the BDSM scene where you have a handler and somebody who portrays the pup. And I won't get into the ugly details of everything and really talk about this at all. You can go ahead and read the article. But he could definitely be the person that could go ahead and bring the community together, create some inclusiveness, build bridges, do all that kind of stuff. And of course, kids, if it doesn't go ahead and actually work, what we could do is we could just burn it all down, right? I mean, why don't we do that? After all, what we could do is we could just go ahead and get our good friend over here. I have to help you. No, I'm not. So we could go ahead and do exactly, you know, when diplomacy fails, we could just burn it all down. Not a problem. What we could do is we could just take a page out of this gentleman's book who went ahead and hacked North Korea back and took down their entire freaking internet. All what? Four servers of it or whatever. And he could go ahead and take care of it for us. I mean, sometimes you just got to napalm it all, right? So just over a year ago, an independent hacker who goes by the handle of P4X was himself hacked by North Korean spies. Now, he says he managed to prevent those hackers from swiping anything of value from him, but nonetheless, he felt deeply unnerved by state-sponsored hackers targeting him personally and by the lack of any visible response from the U.S. government. So, after a year of letting his resentment simmer, PX4 has taken matters into his own hands. It felt like the right thing to do here. If they don't see we have teeth, I was just going to keep coming, right? Yeah, exactly, Darsko. Just for fun. I want them to understand that if you come for us, it means that some of your infrastructure is going to go down for a while. So, PX4 says he found numerous known but unpatched vulnerabilities in North Korean systems that have allowed him to single-handedly launch a denial-of-service attack on the servers and routers of the company's few internet-connected networks just for fun, right?
I mean, what the fuck?
So, he named, as an example, a known bug on the web server for Nginx, I guess it is, that mishandles certain HTTP headers and allows the servers that run software to be overwhelmed and knocked offline. So now, he said he's largely automated his attacks because who really wants to just sit there and waste their entire afternoon when he can just go ahead and automate it? So he automated his attacks over there, periodically running scripts that enumerate which systems remain online and just launching exploits on them to take them down. For me, this is like the size of a medium to small penetration test. It's pretty interesting how easy it was to actually have some effect there. And of course, those relatively simple hacking methods have had immediate effects. So records from the uptime measuring service Pingdom show that at several points during PX4's hacking, almost every North Korean website was down.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, let me just say, well, you need a Ric Flair there.
Boom!
There you go. Nearly every freaking North Korean website was down. Dude, let me say this much, all right? Can I get three Ric Flairs and like a hooyah? I don't know, man. This guy has become my fucking favorite person in the world. So, at the end of the day, all the hatred needs to go away. First, be sure to take pictures of your poop. It could be worth $10,000. I'm just saying. Second, when you go over to like the Golden Corral, don't get all pissy with each other and start going into like fucking ladders, tables, and chair matches. All right? Let's find a way to go ahead and smooth shit over. We've got our great person over here in the Biden administration that can go ahead and help build a bridge of inclusiveness so that we can all get together and actually have some peace. And genderism, that's a terrible thing. I'll tell you what, kids, I'm going to take a break here. I'm LP Faust, I'm your host, cultural attitude of the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. And just like that, kids, hey, we're back. Hey, kids, I'm LP Faust, I'm your host, cultural attitude of the stars, ringmaster of the shit show. We got a circle of intimacy that's awfully intimate this evening, but, you know, sometimes that's good.
One of us, okay? That's one of us. Google gobble, yeah. One of us. We accept that one of us. Google gobble, one of us.
So in the first segment of the show, we went ahead and talked about all the important things in life. You know what I'm talking about. Things like make sure to go ahead and take pictures of your post-Super Bowl shit because dropping a deuce is worth $10,000 apparently. And I know what you're asking yourself. The important questions like, dude. And then, of course, you know, from there, we went and talked about all the offensive things, people that are getting angry at each other, the riot that broke out over at the Golden Corral. We talked about gingerism because apparently it's a thing there. Peter Dinklage and his outrage over with the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs remake because they've got a Latina freaking Snow White, but the Seven Dwarfs, they're still a bunch of twisted, perverted, like, dwarf men that are hanging out in a cage. And, you know, Peter Dinklage had some very succinct comments to say, and it was something...
Fuck you fucking fucker!
Or something like that, if I recall. And then, of course, we talked about the dude who is our personal hero who took down the entire interwebs of... of North Korea. Because, I mean, he's a fucking hero. Well, let me just say, you're asking to talk about alcohol? I got a better thing. Let's talk about drugs. How about that?
Huh?
Because, I mean, sometimes in life, you do drugs wrong, right? So if you recall years back, I guess it was eons ago, we went ahead and talked about when going to, over to like one of the knitting circles where people are going ahead and dropping acid and all that sort of stuff, right? Well, and of course, what that would be like, and what do I wander across in the internet, but a story about how pensioners accidentally got high on weed brownies because a mother brought her son's, what on earth? A mother brought her son's batch of, like, weed brownies over there. And what on earth is going on here? Are we going to do that right? Okay, there we go. Yay! So a group of seniors accidentally scoffed a batch of, scoffed down a batch of cannabis brownies that was brought by a 73-year-old woman who didn't know that her adult son had allegedly baked them with THC butter. Let me tell you something, man. Nothing is better than, like, weed brownies in the seniors' home. You know what I'm saying? So police responded to several calls of a possible poisoning and found out that all the patients had been playing cards at the Tabor County Community Center in South Dakota and were all under the influence. Now, I'm just asking myself, right? Of course, when we're going to sit here and actually talk about something like weed brownies in South Dakota, we'd want an expert like Normach here. And, I mean, is, like, Normach anywhere to be found?
How about new?
I mean, I guess Ron could go ahead and play a surrogate Normach because he was, like, Normach's gimp for a little while. And they had a couple of Brokeback Mountain moments over in Montana together. And, you know, we're not judging. We're not judging. We're just going ahead and spewing the facts out here. But cops arrested Michael Coranda, 43, after he reportedly told them he'd cooked the illicit goods with half a pound of THC butter he bought in Colorado.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, I'm thinking to myself, cute little pan of brownies, and let me go ahead and scoop in, what, a half a pound of fucking THC butter?
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, they were seeing Aztec temples and shit like that. I'm just saying, right? And you would think that they would be, exactly, man, half a pound. I'm like, what in the hell, man? At any rate, because edibles are sometimes so much more powerful than actually going ahead and smoking a hooter. But that being said, you would think that they're going to sit here and say, hey, you know something? It's his mom. He went ahead and gave the seniors a reason to fucking live. Give this man some leniency. Did they go ahead and do that? I'm just asking for a friend over here.
How about new?
Of course not. They went ahead and charged his ass with possession of controlled drug or substances, and which was punishable for 5 years in prison. So, our friend over here, a man of the people, doing God's work, taking a half a pound of THC butter and putting it inside some brownies, didn't go ahead and plan on having mom jack his brownies and like take him over to the senior center, but he was doing God's work anyways, giving them a little bit of an experience as they're playing cards, because if you go over to the senior center, most of the people are hoping for a visitation, staring out the window, praying that they don't wake up tomorrow morning because, oh my God, another day of lonely desperation. And he goes ahead and gives them a reason to live. It's like, here you go. Have a little bit of THC. Let the colors become more vibrant. Let the clouds become more fluffy. And you know something? What does he get for it? He gets, like, what, 5 years in prison?
Fuck you fucking fuckers!
Dude, Peter Dinklage would think that that's absolutely offensive.
How dare you?
That you're doing something like that. But that's okay. He could be our spokesperson after he takes care of this Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs bullshit that's going on over there. Now, listen. What we got to do is maybe next time, just to make sure that the seniors are a little bit like more mellow about stuff, maybe we've got to go ahead and work on a music selection so that people don't flip out when they're going ahead and starting to trip balls. Well, in this case, get high, right? But you know something? The key to this whole thing, of course, it's got to be the music. And in fact, I was stumbled across another article about how to make a perfect tune for an acid trip.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, talk about like useful self-help videos and articles and shit like that. So like since the birth of psychedelic-assisted therapy in the 1950s, music has been a key component of this experience. In fact, it's the only sensory input the person has for many hours. It's become so important that researchers have dubbed it the hidden therapist because of its ability to influence patients' emotional state and the overall success of this type of therapy. So consequently, as psychedelic therapy has gained more acceptance and gone more mainstream, and let me stop there for just 1 second. Hey, listen, Facebook, I get that your algo over there is like trying to sell shit to everybody. How many of these psychedelic therapy pills and fucking signups are you going to put into my feed over here? See, kids, the beauty of living over in Colorado is you can buy a half a pound of THC butter and not get arrested. You know what else is great? You can actually participate in psychedelic therapies and all kinds of shit like that. But I digress. At any rate, let's get back to the story here. So artists are responding to this in kind by developing music specifically for the experience. In fact, a musician, John Hopkins, who produces everything from classical piano to electronic dance music, released the first album created specifically for psychedelic therapy. And he's told the public that experience, as well as his own psychedelic use, partially inspired the album. I mean, holy shit. When it comes to picking the right music to accompany a trip, kids, here we go. So these are the helpful hints. Professionals usually default to classical music.
What the fuck?
Okay, well, there are no lyrics to distract you. It can be soft and calming, powerful and intense, and it can fade into the background if you need it. Well, psychedelic researchers have said, that's bullshit. Let's try something else and experiment with other types of music. So in a peer-reviewed study published last year, Johnson compared LSD users' responses to traditional classical music versus a playlist of non-Western songs that were less melodic but featured instruments with, like, heavy overtones. You know, like Tibetan singing bowls. Like, that's not going to set you up for a bad trip, right? Or gongs. Yeah, I'm sure that'll make me feel fucking great when I'm tripping balls to have people smashing gongs all around me. Or diggeridoos and chimes or a sitar. What? I mean, maybe Cope missed his calling. Maybe he should be selling a bunch of diggeridoos for people tripping balls on acid and stuff like that. I mean, he could probably go ahead and sell them over in Goop Labs with, like, Gwyneth Paltrow, as long as it's got some, like, dual sex toy use, you know? And maybe with right next to, like, the Murder Hornet facials and shit like that. But I digress, man. So, to his surprise, he found out that, like, 60% of participants preferred non-Western music over the classical playlist while they're tripped. I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, I never in a million years would have thought, hey, guys, let's all drop acid and start, like, working our diggeridoos over here.
What the fuck?
Or, hey, bust out that sitar, man. You should go ahead and rip a riff off on that. Play sitar. You know, that would be fucking fantastic and terrible. Exactly, man. I'm just saying, I agree with you a whole bunch, Sepson. A whole bunch. Hey, I'm not sitting here being an advocate for Diggory Doos or hating on them. I'm just saying that shit is fucking weird. Shit is fucking weird. But the reason why we have to go ahead and do this, kids, the reason why music is such an important element to this whole experience is because you can always go ahead and come across like a bad trip and come up with some really bad ideas while you're tripping balls, right? Like, for instance, you probably want to have a friend. You want the environment to be okay, or else you might wind up like this woman who had a love affair with a pigeon and drilled a whole bunch of her holes in her head on an LSD acid trip.
I mean, what the fuck?
I'm just wondering, where the fuck was her friends when she was sitting here pulling out the power drill, the Black & Decker, going, hey, I got an idea. Dude.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, what are you doing? All right, so a renowned psychedelic researcher who went ahead and drilled a bunch of holes in her head and fell in love with pigeons, Amanda Fielding, is the founder of the Beckley Foundation, but her years experimenting with LSD led to a love affair with a pigeon and to drilling holes into her own head.
I mean, what the fuck?
She spent 15 years in a relationship with a pigeon who she believes judged her for not being able to fly. See, look at that. Racism, man.
How dare you?
And. Psychedelic researcher Amanda Fielding, who also drilled a hole in her own head, named the pigeon Birdie and said she couldn't resist giving him passionate cuddles.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, I don't know, Ron. At the time of the romance, Amanda was on a psychedelic journey after she started experimenting with LSD in the 1960s. She said that their cuddles lasted up to half an hour and that Birdie gave her, quote, tiny little kisses to her pupils.
I mean, what the fuck?
Let me just say that again. Birdie gave her tiny little kisses to her pupils. I know telepathy exists because I had this passionate relationship with a pigeon who I brought up from a baby, and he fixated and fell madly in love with me and I with him. Yes, I know, Sepson. They don't have lips. I know, it's a little bit technical. I can't get into it because I can't even wrap my own head around it. But that was the beginning of one of the most beautiful relationships of my life. He had two main emotions, which were passionate love and hateful jealousy. He'd always be swooping off somewhere, and he could never make out why I didn't go with him, a pathetic human cripple who couldn't fly.
I mean, what the fuck?
You know, I feel like I should be sitting here having like a PSA, kids, don't buy drugs, right? But I mean, apparently she had some sort of a fulfilling, lasting relationship filled with racism and hatred and lots of kissing of the pupils for 15 years, and then drilled a couple holes in her head because, you know, love. I just can't, man. All right, kids, we're about halfway through the show. I got to take a break. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, Cultural Attaché to the Stars, Ringmaster of the Shit Show this evening. You're listening to Joculation, and let me just say this much, okay? Don't let pigeons kiss you in the pupils. Yeah, Sepson, see, there's a lot of truth to that. I used to read Go the Fuck to Sleep to my daughter when she was younger. And, you know, my opinion has always been like, you know, as long as the kids understand and use the words in the correct context and aren't like, you know, dropping F-bombs everywhere they go, whatever, man, who cares? Well, like I said, it's all fun and games until the school calls, right? And, of course,
I mean, what the fuck?
I mean, what are you going to do? I thought the greatest thing was I'm sitting here, you know, a couple of shows back, and I had done my show for the evening or whatnot. And see, I'm down in the basement, not really realizing exactly how loud I am. When I'm sitting here, because it's not like I'm sitting here talking into the microphone. You know, Clay. I'm not doing a Clay where I'm like, all right, guys, listen, I'm trying to stay quiet here, and this is a very quiet. No, fuck that. I'm pretty much shouting at the top of my lungs, right? So my daughter looks at me. I'm at the breakfast table the next morning. We're sitting there eating, doing our thing, and she looks at me and she goes, "Hey, Dad, I heard your show last night," and it made me stop. And I'm like, "Wait a minute, you don't have anything up there to access the internet. How the fuck can you hear my show?" And she's like, "Oh yeah, man, I listen through the vent, right, since it's right next to my bed, so I can hear everything that you're saying." And I was just kind of like sitting there saying, maybe this is a bad idea. Hey, Carlos, do you think we're going to go ahead? Do you think this is a bad idea? And that dude's,
No.
You're allowed, Dad. Let me tell you something, man. I've got some lungs on me. Maybe not like Grim, but I got lungs on me, bro. So the other day, like, I'm sitting in the car or whatnot. So, I mean, let's back up here. So my daughter likes to listen to the punk rock that I do, all right? So she finds this one group, Tat, that she'll hear some later, and some of later. And inside that, one of their songs, Road to Paradise, I mean, dude, they're dropping the F-bomb and landing it like a gymnast sticking a fucking landing. You know what I'm saying there? Kind of like that. So my daughter's like, I really love this group. It's a female punk rock band. I'm going to go ahead and listen to this. So it becomes her favorite one. She starts singing the song out loud. And like I said before, when that F-bomb comes, when that fuck drops, she'll go ahead and stick that shit like a gymnast sticking a landing in for the Olympics. You know what I'm saying? It's a long road, hard road, dragging a little red wagon till you're 6 feet under, wondering what the fuck have I done? And I'm like, all right, honey, let me tell you something. I don't mind that you like to sing the song, but we got to put a couple of ground rules in place, honey. You can't go ahead and have your friends up there singing with you, okay? Okay, Dad, no problem. I won't go ahead and do that. So we get her like an iPod or whatever. We've loaded up some songs that she likes, send her upstairs. So we have everybody over one day, all of her friends and all that stuff. They all go upstairs together and go into a room, and we're downstairs with the parents, and in the background, I'm hearing them all sing together. It's a long road, hard road, dragging a little red wagon. I'm like, no! And then all of a sudden you hear, wondering what the fuck, all together. And I'm just like looking around going, no, really, I do raise my daughter, right? I swear to God. So, you know, hey, it's a double-edged sword, but at least she's an independent thinker. At least she likes to go ahead and do her own thing. And not only that, the kid has decided she wants to form her own punk rock band, is taking drum lessons, and has the hottest, most obnoxious pink drumsticks that she can possibly get. So, of all things, she picks the instrument that's going to be the loudest fucking one in the entire house. But whatever, man. It is what it is. All right, kids, back to the show. All right, so if you missed the show so far, in the first part of the show, we went in and talked about how your deuce that you drop after the Super Bowl, let me tell you something, that could be worth $10,000. And there's a Twitter feed that you can go ahead and post your pot of shit, if you will, you know, your post-Super Bowl deuce drop, and potentially win $10,000. We'll put that up there later on in the show. We also talked about all the offensive shit that's going on, like the gingerism, you know, yeah, Super what?
How dare you?
Yeah, it's a Super Bowl thing there, Sepson. If you want, all you got to do, yeah, the fuck is that? We'll cover it at the end of the show in the recap. So we went ahead and did that. Gingerism is a thing now. We went ahead and talked about how Peter Dinklage is outraged and offended about Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs with their remake. We went ahead after that in the second part of the show. We discussed all kinds of things about how drugs can be done wrong, from pensioners who accidentally got high on half a pound of THC butter, put inside somebody's, like, brownies, so they were playing cards and the game became fun. We also talked about how to make a perfect tune for an acid trip and how drugs, if you do them wrong, can do bad things, like one woman who had a love affair with a pigeon and drilled holes in her head while she was on an LSD trip because, you know.
Fuck you fucking fuckers!
Oh, my God. And does it get better? Of course not. Why? Because this is joculation. Hey, Carlos, would it get any better?
No.
Absolutely not, man. So, in this segment, what we got to think about is Valentine's Day is coming up. We got to think about that. Now, if you missed last week, or I should say 2 weeks ago, we had all those fantastic Valentine's Day gift ideas that we went ahead and shared with the audience out there. You know which ones I'm talking about, right? But I'll tell you what. we got to go ahead and think about things to do, new Valentine's Day gifts. Maybe you're not that romantic type, right? Maybe what you are is you're more of a practical kind of a person. Maybe you like to go out there and just buy stuff that is useful. You know, like, hey, honey, I love you. Here's a frying pan. Not that I'm stereotyping. Or, you know, hey, kids, I love you. Here's a couple of pencils and some stuff because, I don't know, it was in the dollar bin over at the store and happy Valentine's Day. Or maybe what you do is you go buy some clothes. Well, sometimes what you got to do is you got to be careful where you buy stuff, particularly shoes. You might want to stay away from certain Foot Locker locations because apparently there's a manager there that likes to ejaculate in shoes before giving them to the customers to try on.
I mean, what the fuck?
I'll say that one more time. There's a guy who likes to jerk off into shoes over there and then bring them out and say, hey, would you like to try these on? Because, dude.
Fuck you fucking fuckers.
So a Foot Locker manager has been accused of ejaculating into trainers and handing them off to customers to try on before bragging online. The allegations were made after a series of videos and photos were posted on social media. And in the clips, he shared images of himself stark naked in the store locker room. Other clips included footage of him jerking off into a trainer before taking it out to the customer. Now, of course, Foot Locker was like, dude,
fuck you fucking fuckers.
Dude, what are you doing to me? So, of course, they immediately issued a statement, right? Like this. Foot Locker is committed to operating with the highest ethical standards, and this type of behavior is not tolerated. Do we believe him for a second, Carlos?
No.
Of course not, because you wouldn't have hired this freak in the bed the first time. But I digress, right? We're aware of the incident and are taking the appropriate steps to address the situation. I'm just curious, right? So earlier in the show, we were sitting there talking about, you know, championship deuces to go ahead and win this, like, $10,000 championship or whatnot for the Super Bowl. Take a picture of the turd in the punch bowl, if you will. And you two, after this shitpost, can go ahead and earn $10,000. There's an entire, like, training regimen that happens, right? People don't just become champions overnight because one day they wake up and say, I guess what I went ahead and ate last night is enough. Let's just go ahead and squeeze out. Let's pinch a loaf here and win, right? That doesn't work. There's a whole regimen that goes to this. I mean, you got to put some thought into it. I can eat the chili con queso. That'll probably go ahead and do something. Let me go ahead and eat a lot of cruciferous vegetables in the crudité. Or maybe, if you're going for the true win, it's sausage and sauerkraut, right? I'm just sitting there thinking of that stuff, right? So, thinking out loud, if you will. So, if you stop and think about it, right, I'm kind of wondering, Foot Locker is trying to go ahead and, like, prevent something bad from happening over here. We don't want to lose customers. We're a champion. I'm kind of curious, right? If they're aware of the incident and they're taking appropriate steps to address the situation, what sort of steps do you go ahead and actually take to prevent people from, like, I don't know, randomly jerking off into all the shoes that they're letting people go ahead and try on out in the showroom? I'm just curious, wondering for a friend, because, how do you prevent that? It's almost as bad as the dude that was from the Royal Ballet Society that we talked about 2 weeks ago that was busy going ahead, shoving a butt plug up his butt, taking Viagra, and wandering through the streets of London jerking off. I mean, how do you even know and take appropriate action to prevent that from happening? How do you know that this guy's not a fucking freak, right? So I'm just curious. I'm asking for a friend. So what we could do is we got to go ahead and take a sensible route, right? We got to try and go ahead and find, like, the happy medium. You know, like Buddha said, the middle way. So we've got to go the middle way here. So it's kind of like, okay, maybe what we do is we go, we make a statement, and what we try to do is we try to go ahead and stay within that middle way and get something classic, you know, maybe a stuffed animal. But, I mean, is there a stuffed animal out there that actually sort of, like, captures the tasteful essence of I love you, but I want to fuck you? You know what I'm saying? Something like that. It's the middle way. Very difficult. Well, kids, don't worry, because not only can you take your kid to Build-A-Bear and get your kid a beautiful little stuffed toy, but apparently Build-A-Bear has now got an after-dark horny teddy bear that literally nobody wants because, I mean,
what the fuck?
That's awkward. Could you imagine, like, wandering into the fucking Build-A-Bear with your kid? And you're like, hey, let's go ahead and make some stuffies. And they're like, Daddy, why does that stuffy have handcuffs? I'm just... Dude, I'm just kind of like, what the fuck? Do you get,
I mean, what the fuck?
You can't get offended over the whole thing, right? Because, I mean, they're trying to make a buck. They're like, hey, you know what? I think we got to diversify a little. What's your growth strategy? I know. How about we go ahead and do Build-A-Bears and butt plugs with some kinky accessories? That could work, especially for Valentine's Day. And, of course,
how about new?
Bad idea. Fucking bad idea. So Build-A-Bear's new adult-oriented teddy bears, which that in and of itself is a weird fucking statement. But adult-oriented teddy bears, they've received mixed reception on social media, with some quite liking the idea and others getting an unwelcome new insight on the stuffing process. All right, let me just stop there. Are they going ahead and making you shove stuffing in this bear's ass while it's handcuffed and potentially got a ball gag in it and like a, you know, some sort of like little sailor's cap and perhaps a smoking jacket? I mean, that would be fucking perverse beyond anything you could possibly imagine.
And I mean, what the fuck?
I think I'd be offended by that because it's like, okay, so what do we do? Do we do a fluffy stuff or a hard stuff?
How dare you?
You know what I'm saying? It's just fucking wrong. See? Ron's got it right there. Spraying all that stuffing inside of that deer's ass. No, that's wrong. So, Ari Lambert, writing on Twitter, expressed many people's confusion about the new range, saying, I'm sorry, but, like, what exactly are they doing to these stuffed animals to make them for adults? And I'm like, hey, that's a good question, dude, but really what you're probably asking is,
I mean, what the fuck?
You know what I'm saying? So, adults like regular stuffed animals, so what freaky shit is happening at Build-A-Bear? That is a great question, right? But it's not a great question that needs the Howard Dean scream. It needs the nearly dead Ric Flair. You know what I'm saying? Because when you're talking about a dude that was busy going down the aisles of planes when they were flying from location to location in professional wrestling and would open his robe up and start doing a helicopter dick as he walks down the aisle, that's the kind of guy that you need as a spokesperson for this brand new line of teddy bears that you're going to go ahead and put out there. You know what I'm saying? Leave the sailor's cap out of it. Get the fuck out of here, man. Sailor's caps are a perfect thing because why? I mean, who? What was it? The Village People went ahead and made that in vogue. Leather daddies with sailor's caps. I mean, holy fucking shit. What a statement that made. But I digress. We're talking about perverted bears here, so hold on one second. After seeing a bear wearing a t-shirt that read, I want to take you out. Emily Health commented, going down the rabbit hole in the new adult Build-A-Bear line and found this, which reads more like a death threat than an invitation to date in my mind. And then, of course, she went ahead and shared the Hugh Hefner-inspired sexy lion bear, and I'm just like, are you saying Hugh Hefner, sexy lion? Get the fuck.
Fuck you, fucking fuckers.
You mean the guy that the fucking Playboy model just came out during this like documentary said that she was his drug mule? That's the guy that you're gonna go ahead and reference? Well, I mean, you'd figure that they probably have like a bear that's got like its ass spread open and like shitting drugs out of its rectum because it wants to not only go ahead and win the Super Bowl challenge for $10,000. But it's also trying to go ahead and have a profitable side hustle. You'd figure that there might be something appropriate to that. But instead, it's like there's wine o'clock somewhere. So that's your Hugh Hefner-inspired bear right there. Pretty lackadaisical. But you know, when you're going ahead and bringing three-year-olds and five-year-olds in for like birthday parties, you got to keep it on the DL. You can't just be like right out there with your shit, right? So Mark Deschamps commented, this completely changes how I look at a Build-A-Bear stuffing process. And you know something? I'm inclined to agree. Yeah, oh, look, wine. Yeah, well, I don't know, Darsico. I wouldn't necessarily sit there and go ahead and say that a Hugh Hefner-inspired bear that says it's wine o'clock somewhere would go ahead and maybe drink wine. Now, Sepson's right. Scotch, on the other hand, that might be worth a conversation. But I'll tell you what, we'll talk about that later. Because you know why? Because we're running behind. And I've got to take a break here. I'm LP Faust, I'm your host. Cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. You know, Sebson, the funny thing is, when you're talking about a taster's cup from a brewery, that kind of reminds me of when I went over to the Great American Beer Fest over here in Denver, Colorado, which is like, it's a holy grail of like places to go for beer and stuff like that. So I was doing like a Hive meetup at one point. I started to put together an accelerator over here, and I was surprised at who I ran into. So for a while there, you know, I was seeing a lot of different people that were in the Hive community. One of them happened to be the guy who actually runs the Great American Beer Fest. So when I did this very first accelerator and was getting everybody pulled together, you know, and we've got there's a couple of people that have been inside of this particular community that were there. He calls me up and he's like, listen, man, I got a giveaway for you over at your accelerator. So it turns out that he had given me two tickets. Now, mind you, to get into the Great American Beer Fest here, if you don't actually buy your tickets within like the first 30 minutes that they go on sale, you're not getting in. It's basically over. But he gave me some free tickets to come in whenever I wanted to. So I went over there and I took a friend with me. And the thing that gets me is like when you go inside of this, you get the sense of what like King Midas is like, because there's like I think it's about 2,500 different beers that you can drink. And all of them are domestic beers, and there's a different one, which is, I think, the World Cup of Beer that comes through here that he also coordinates. And, yeah, it's pretty awesome. But I remember we would get these, like, one-ounce tasters, and everywhere you're going, you can drink beer. So you come up the escalator, and the very first thing you meet is you meet the 50 gold medalists from the last year. So you're sitting there drinking 50 ounces of beer, not really thinking about the other, I don't know, 2,400 and like 2,000, whatever it is, 2,500 other beers that are sitting out there. And so I'm already fucked going in. And as the night goes on, you're allowed, I think it's 3 hours in here to go ahead and try to consume all the beer that you can in this place. It was pretty fucked up because as you're going on, you hear people dropping their taster. It hits the ground and crashes, and everybody around is like, oh, you fucking drunk and you lush. So pretty much it becomes this thing that you'll hear, and as the night goes on, it gets worse and worse. So I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Let me go ahead and move away from the 50 greatest beers here from last year. Let's go down this straight the aisle right in front of us. So what is the aisle? I didn't know it. It's all barley wines. And if you don't know what barley wines is, it's just like a rebranding of malt liquor. So you get fucked up pretty fast, and you're kind of just like, dude,
I mean, what the fuck?
Wandering around, pretty much fucked up, not able to go ahead and function properly. And then I'm like, you know what? I better go ahead and actually get myself something to eat. So I look over, Red Robin's there. They're giving away French fries. I'm like, cool, let's go get the French fries. We go over there, I'd like some French fries. They're like, can't give you French fries unless you go ahead and have our beer tasting. But I don't want your beer tasting. I just want your French fries. Hey. No beer, no fries. Well, shit, okay. So I go ahead and get a beer tasting and get some fries. Go inside this place. So I got some tables set up. I'm like, really cool. We sit down. We're starting to eat our French fries. We're drinking. We finish off what's left. Next thing I know, there's a placemat being put in front of me, and beers are getting put down on that placemat. I'm like, what are you doing? They're like, yeah, you just came in time for the beer tasting, but I don't want your beer tasting. I just want to eat my French fries. Hey, man, if you're going to sit in here, it's a beer tasting. Well, shit. So I wound up leaving. And it became that thing where it was like, I felt like every place I was going, John Panetta had a whole thing about going to an Italian restaurant in Italy and what it was like. What's the matter? You don't like it? It was kind of like that. You don't like my beer? Something along those lines. So you get to a place where it's like, I think I've had enough. Can I go elsewhere? But it was funny because when I got to those last couple of hours, I sound like a degenerate. That last hour, it was kind of like all of a sudden I felt the pressure. Like, we didn't show up prepared since it was my first beer fest. People were showing up and they had like a necklace of pretzels and like a plastic baggie with a ham sandwich in it. And it was one of those things where they're like, yeah, I got to make sure to go ahead and offset, make sure I got something to suck up the alcohol so I can go ahead and put a hurting on this tasting over here. So I was like, next time I'll be prepared. And of course, next time COVID came. And next time, we didn't get to go to the American Beer Fest. Because why? Because it's been a fucking pandemic season that's never fucking ending over here. So, hopefully this year, maybe we'll be able to get to go, and we'll see what we can do there. Now, kids, just a little PSA. Remember, like, 2 weeks ago, as we were going ahead and doing the last part of the show, I went ahead and put out there some helpful, wonderful advice, you know, for those people that can't score on Valentine's Day, here's historically the 10 masturbation techniques that we've seen throughout the history, right? Well, for those of you that do score, since it's coming up this Monday, and there's no pun intended on that, probably you're sitting there thinking to yourself, you know something, as you're with that person that you love? You know something? I kind of wonder, I might not know your sexual history, I'm wondering whether or not I should go ahead and actually figure it out and perhaps see how many people I'm sleeping with. Well, thankfully, somebody's come up with the exposure calculator over here, the sexual exposure calculator. And what it does is it does all the work for you to let you know just how likely you are to contract an STI and just how many people you've indirectly slept with. So what you can do is just go to this sexual exposure and STI risk calculator over at Dr. Felix after you've had your fling and just ask yourself three easy steps. Step one, where are you from? Because depending on the country, you're probably a slut. Step two, how many partners have you had? Because, you know, everything kind of expands at a geometric rate. Look at COVID. And of course, step three, what kind of a slut is your partner on average? I mean, it says step three, how many partners have they had on average? You know what I'm saying? So there's a little deduction, a little reasoning, and then you two can look, gaze in horror at what gets spit out on the other side, because spitters are quitters. But what you can do is, rather than going ahead and keeping it in their dear diary and trying to go ahead and do factorials and all that sort of stuff, hey, somebody's developed this helpful, easy-to-use calculator, so you don't have to worry about it and you don't have to do all that work. You know what I'm saying? So, kids, let's go ahead and do that. We're going to go ahead and catch another song here, maybe two, and then we'll come back, do the recap, and we're out for the evening. So we'll take a break here. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, Cultural Attitude of the Stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. See, kids, that's the Pillsbury cookie dough commercial that we need, not only for the holiday season, but just in general. You know what I'm saying? So, kids, I want to thank everybody for coming out this evening. I appreciate everybody out there in the audience that went ahead and stayed, hung out, went ahead and had a good time with us this evening. It's everybody out in podcast land and all those strange places that I see you listening to stuff over in communist China, over in all those third world dictatorships like over in Zimbabwe. And, Pakistan and everywhere else in the world. Thanks for risking your life. I appreciate it. And for those of you that just joined us in podcast land, hey, you know what? There's a whole bunch of other episodes you should go check out. So as William Shakespeare once said, kids, all the world's a stage as we strut and fret on the stage of life. Always be sure to ask yourself why watch the show when you can be the show. I'm going to go ahead and check out. Catch you next week, kids. Take care. Good night.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Joculation. We hope you enjoyed the episode and encourage you to join us for the live interactive social broadcast every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoy Joculation, I have another podcast you might like, Everyday Crazy. Search for them and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this right now. If you're listening over a smartphone, tap or swipe over the cover art of the podcast. You'll find show notes which may include details you may have missed and links to my Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon pages. If you'd like to hear more of Joculation and other shows from LP, in addition to extra content, early access, merchandise, and other perks, you can subscribe to my Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/LPFaust. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram. Please be sure to follow me on Twitter @FaustLP and Instagram @LPFaust. And thank you. Joculation is created, produced, hosted, and edited by me, LP Faust. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.